Now this morning, dear believers, there is one thought, only one thought, which is there in the New Testament. Again and again, I just want to leave it with dear believers. It comes in the New Testament 7 times. It is just 3 words, but they are very, very precious. These 3 words is, God is able. And especially this new year, this is one thought due to different circumstances, which again and again came before me. God is able. And as I told you, it is mentioned at least 7 times in the New Testament in different contexts. And today morning, that is the thought I just want to leave with believers. Whatever may be your circumstance, your situation, from these places we will learn a lesson. God is able. We often sing, Sunday school children sing, He is able, He is able. I know He is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He is able. So this morning, that is the thought I want to leave with believers. Look to the Lord, He is able. I am not able. In fact, once Lord Jesus Christ asked His disciples a question, are you able? In a circumstance, He asked them, are you able? And they quickly said, yes, we are able. But experiences of life teach us many times we are unable and we are helpless. You see, there is another place in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it is written, there was a cry in heaven, no man in heaven, no man in the earth, no man under the earth is able. This is what John had heard there and what he saw. No man is able. And again, that is what we need to remind us today. There will be times in our life when no man will be able to do anything for us. You see, once Lord Jesus Christ asked 2 blind men a question. Do you believe I am able? Do you believe I am able? The Lord asked these blind men. And they answered, yes, we believe thou art able. And today that is a question which must be there in my heart and mind. Do I believe that God is able? Please see the first scripture, Luke's Gospel chapter 3. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. The lesson we learn here is, God is able to save souls in salvation. Here is John the Baptist in the midst of people of Israel. They are all religious people. They are all very, very orthodox people. They know so many things from the Bible. But what is missing? Salvation is not there. And this, dear believers, I want to apply in our own lives. In fact, sometime back, a brother came to our assembly. And he was ministering the word. And he was telling, brethren, pray for us. One of our problems is, we are not seeing new people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And especially, he said, among our own children, we see, they become believers. They are baptized. They come into the assembly. But somehow, life is missing. And he said, brethren, pray for us. After listening to that, many of us were wondering, is he talking about our own assembly here? Dear believers, this is definitely a problem today. And we need to earnestly pray that God should put life. God is able to put life into stones. That is what John the Baptist said here. And we know in another place, Lord Jesus Christ told these Pharisees, if you stop the children from shouting praise, these very stones will start speaking. I have always believed one genuinely, soundly saved soul is better than 100 messages. His very life will be a message to so many believers. For the last 10 years, the Lord has given me a privilege to go to a very remote place in India called Sikkim. And one of the joys there has been to see first generation believers, souls getting saved. They are all Hindus and Buddhist converts. And I can go hours together telling about testimonies of how God is visiting the people and He is saving souls there. Dear believers, this must be a desire in our heart that God may visit us in salvation and which is from above and which will be a blessing to many. Now John told these people, bring forth fruits meet to repentance. So he teaches us, whenever we preach, these two truths must always go together. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Many times you will find emphasis on repentance. It is not there. Yes, many times the second is emphasized, but the first is left out. But you see, all of us who are believers here, we were dead stones. But God has made us living stones. He has put life in us. And we are able to praise Him and worship Him. But let us believe, God is able. And for that we need to cry from our heart, like Rachel cried, give me children or I die. When such a prayer ascends, God saves souls. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Book of Ephesians chapter 3. And we will read verse 20 and 21. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now we know this is the wonderful prayer of Paul, second time in the Ephesian letter. And see verse 16, he is praying that believers must be strengthened in the inner man. And see verse 6:17, Paul is praying that Christ may dwell in the heart of believers by faith. And then see, he is praying that the love of Christ, believers may be rooted and grounded in the same. Dear believers, what a prayer which we can pray today. That believers' inner man must be strengthened. Christ must be seen in their life. And the love of Christ must fill the soul of a believer. In fact, three times in the New Testament we have reference to the love of Christ. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Romans chapter 8. There as a soldier we have a picture of a believer. Only strength a believer has as a soldier, as he fights battle for Christ, it is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other ability, dear believers, which can help us to fight the battle. It is only the love of Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, we have the love of Christ. And the picture is actually of a student who is ever learning and learning. The length and breadth and depth and height of the love of Christ. And this is a school from which a believer will never ever graduate till he leaves this world. Every day we have scope to learn more of the love of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there the love of Christ is mentioned. Paul says, the love of Christ constraineth us. And there it is in the context of a servant. And as a servant, it is only the love of Christ which can enable us, encourage us, make us to continue serving. It is only the love of Christ, dear believers. Rest, all motivation will fade away. But as we drink of the love of Christ, it will strengthen us to keep on serving the Lord and His people. Now see verse 20. Paul says God is able. And then he says God is able to do exceedingly. And then he says God is able to do exceeding abundantly. God is able to do more than we ask Him. God is able to do more than we think in our mind. I think if you put it in a paper, there are five ascending order in which Paul is saying God is able to do. And many times we remember this verse when we are asking God something. Yes. But I want you to note the last line of verse 20. Yes. According to the power that worketh in us. In fact, in chapter 1, it is the same power which raised up Christ from the dead. And it is the same power which is today working in us. Dear believers, God is able. But what is God able? God is able to change me. I think that is the greatest display of God's power in my life. I remember once we were distributing tracts. And we were distributing to some people who were drug addicts. And they were not at all interested and they were not at all responsive. And we were pleading with them, God is able to change your life. God is able to deliver you from this wretched sin. After the meeting, the brother who was distributing tracts with me, he said one thing to me. He said, today we were telling these drug addicts, God is able to deliver them. But this is what he said. I was thinking, is God able to deliver me from my one problem and one difficult habit I have in my life? We are believers. As believers, there are so many things in our life we know which is not right in God's eyes. Is God able to deliver me from that? My habit, maybe some desire in my heart, maybe some thoughts, maybe some pursuit in my life. You see, God is able, and when we say God is able, if He can change my heart and my life for the glory of God, I think that is the biggest power of God's demonstration. Again, we teach Sunday school children this song. I'm sure children know, He is still working on me. What do we sing in that song? He is still working on me. How loving and patient He must be. It took Him just a week to make the sun and the stars, the moon and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But He is still working on me. Dear believers, how many years the Lord is working in our life? What do we reflect today? Is Christ seen in my life? Am I able to deny my own self? That is what God is able to do. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Now we know in the context Paul is telling about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is making every believer have this blessed hope shining in his heart every day. Yeah. Looking for the blessed hope of the appearing of the Lord. Is that hope there in our life, dear believers, today? Now in the context, Paul is telling when the Lord will come, He will change our lowly bodies and He will give us a glorious body. Now we all know when the Lord will come, first the dead ones in Christ will be raised and then the living ones, both will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But in this verse, the emphasis is on the resurrection of believers with a glorified body when they meet the Lord that day. And again, the emphasis is today we are in a lowly body. I don't know how many believers can lift up their hands here and say that I have no problem in my body. Any believer? I remember once in Gangtok, they were saying that our assembly is a sick assembly. What I mean is, even I got that impression, but then believers were saying, most of the believers, you see, they have, and some of them is very, very severe sickness. In our own assembly, there is a sister, presently, when they go to hospital, 4 departments at a time they have to visit. She has serious leg problem. She had a surgery in her brain. Doctors say now there is problem in the blood. And then, I'm not remembering, there is one more major problem she's suffering from. Oh dear believers, what comfort it is to know that one day we will get a body which is like the body of Lord Jesus Christ. Today, our body is mortal. But one day we'll get an immortal body. Today our body is having sin. But one day we'll get a body without sin. Today our body is corruptible. Means that is why we say we are getting old. We are not getting younger day by day. But we'll get an incorruptible body. It is a spiritual body. And what an encouragement it is to us when we pass through sufferings. No doctor is able, but I know my Lord is able to give me a glorified, sinless, incorruptible body in the coming days. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll read verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Now we know Paul in the jail could confidently say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. You see, whatever God committed to Paul, Paul very faithfully kept it. Especially the teachings of the New Testament God gave by revelation to Paul. And so much opposition was there. But he held on to it even in the jail. And that is why he tells young Timothy that what I have committed to you, commit it to faithful brethren who can teach others also. In fact, again and again he tells Timothy, you keep it faithfully what I have committed to you. Are we faithful with the truths God has given in our heart and in our hands? Are we holding on to it, dear believers? But here Paul is now telling confidently that what I have committed to the Lord, I know he is able to keep it against that day. Dear believers, what a confidence Paul had in the jail. God keeps our feet. God keeps our ways. God keeps our everything. Paul had confidence, what I have committed to God, he is able to keep it against that day. Don't we often sing that hymn, dear believers? I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made shown. And then we know in the chorus the hymn writer says, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Many of us may not know who wrote this hymn. It is written by one person whose name was Daniel Whittle. He was a very wayward boy. When he left his house, dear mother put a Bible in his bag. He joined the army. Almost lost his life. And there in the deathbed, he remembered his mother's Bible. And he got wonderfully saved. And he is the one who has written so many hymns about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear believers, whatever we commit unto the Lord, remember, even if everything goes away, God is able to keep it against that day. Didn't we sing that hymn just now? Sowing in the morning. Sowing seeds of kindness. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sometimes it will be with lot of tears. But that is the water which will water the seed. But what we have committed unto God, one day he will bring it out. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Dear believers, in Hebrews, Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And one of his ministries in heaven today is to help believers when they pass through temptations. Are there believers here who are facing some type of temptation in their life? You are feeling, I am unable to resist it now. But remember, he is able to sustain you. Please remember, he never ever sympathizes with our sin. Sin has to be punished. Sin has to be confessed. I need cleansing from that. But he is very, very tender when it comes to my infirmities. But that doesn't mean he does not sympathize with us in our temptations. He in heaven, he is able to help me if I come and cry to him. In fact, the word succor, which is used in verse 18, succor, here actually succor basically has two meanings. You see, the first meaning is, it means a shout. And the second meaning is running. So when you join both together, when I have a temptation, I need to shout, Lord help me. And he comes running to help me. And he is able to help me. He helped Joseph in the past. He helped so many people in the past. He can help me also in my temptation. But do I cry to him? Please see chapter 7, book of Hebrews chapter 7. And we will read verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Dear believers, our great high priest is a contrast to Aaron in the Old Testament. Aaron was having his own sins, but our great high priest is sinless. Aaron one day died. Our high priest died and rose again, and forever he is alive in heaven. Aaron used to go inside once in a year and then he used to come out. But our great high priest forever has entered into heaven And till he comes to take the believers, he is seated at the right hand of God. But two ways, Aaron is a picture of Christ. He had 6 stones on this shoulder and 6 stones on this shoulder on his shoulders. And names of the tribe of Israel is written. Nobody can see that. God from heaven can see that. That is how God sees me today. In Christ, I am fully safe. My salvation can never be lost because I am on the shoulder of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, Aaron had 12 stones on his breast also. And very strongly they were tied to Aaron. They never can fall on the ground. And on these 12 stones also names were written. That people can see. You see, dear believers, it is telling us about the love of Lord Jesus Christ. Which I can see, which I can enjoy, which I can be satisfied in day by day in my life. And today in heaven, he is bearing me on his heart. He is bearing me on his shoulder. I don't think I need a greater comfort than this, that he is bearing me in heaven. Please see book of Jude. I'll just read the scripture and close. This is the last reference to the ableness of our blessed Lord. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. May God bless us with these scriptures.